Scripture reading is taken from John 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of the Lord.
Well, we're very happy that you're with us today on this last day of 2017. So it's a special day, really. We finish 1 year and move into our next year, 2018. So thank you very much for making the effort of coming out on such a cold day as well, as we finish this year and look to the next. And a special welcome to our folk who are visiting with us today. Thank you for coming. So over the last weeks of Advent, the last month of December, we've been considering incarnation stories. So we've been looking at both Matthew and Luke. And it's interesting, in both of those Gospels, there's a genealogy which goes all the way back to the beginning of humanity, as the biblical story tells us, and a genealogy is given that traces up to Christ. And so we have that in Matthew 1, and we also have it in Luke 3. They have some differences between them, but for the writers, they are communicating the continuity of today to the past, first century to the past. In the Gospel of John, we have something different, and that's the prologue. And so what was just read by John is a different way of showing that continuity. So it's not through a genealogy, but it's through this story of the Word. And that reminds us both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the creation story. Remember in Genesis 1, and the Word was spoken and the universe comes into existence. That's the Word of God, Old Testament. Very powerful. We also see it in Proverbs 8, a story of wisdom, being with God. The wisdom is the personification of God working and creation taking place. In the New Testament, In the Greek days, that word logos is what gives the world order, what gives the world meaning, what gives the world direction, purpose. So, for example, in our own solar system, we have a number of planets, right? And you remember this all in your school days, and the planets revolve around the sun. And they've been doing this from time immemorial. And they stay on track, and they go around the sun, and we know the Earth takes 1 year to go around the sun, and that's what we're celebrating today. We've finished our journey all the way around. We've gone hundreds of millions and millions of miles. Really, the Earth has gone that. We're sitting on the Earth. We've made that whole trip, and here we are. So you are, and I am, space travelers in the best sense of it. But the solar system, what holds us together? What keeps that happening? Well, in the Greek world, it was this logos. The logos was understood as the force, if you like, that just keeps the universe stable and moving forward in a way that's dependable for us. So that's the logos. The Old Testament talks about it. The New Testament talks about it. And that's how John then creates this continuity, because he's going to introduce the concept of logos and connect it to Jesus. That Jesus is the logos. So there's 4 points, and they're not particularly heavy for us. It's just reminding us who this logos is. And first of all, we see the divine sense of it. So if we go back to here, a portrait of Jesus' divinity, well, that's the one angle we're going to begin with. 4 characteristics. There's the preexistence or eternality of the Word. So notice in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Word, the Greek word for that is logos. So in the beginning was the logos. With God. Right from the very beginning. So there's this eternality of the logos. We're trying to build a picture. The name Jesus isn't introduced into our text until verse 17. But it's building, and then we see the connection in verse 17. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's where the connection. So we have this eternal logos. Verses 4 and 5, we see the imagery of light that reminds us of Genesis 1, that the logos is there right from the very beginning. So Jesus says of himself in John 17, in the upper room discourse, this great teaching piece that he gives before the cross, "So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." That's Jesus' own words talking about himself, that the Logos existed with God from the very beginning. It's a powerful statement, a powerful reality. So the preexistence or eternality of God, number one. Secondly, the Word is the agent of creation. Proverbs 8 has this wisdom character that's painting the world, if you like, into existence. And it's this logos that is the agent of creation. So we have an artist, as you know, Sharon. And Sharon has done these 6 pieces. I believe 2 more are coming. But she's the artist. She painted those, put the words on, chose the colors. This is her expression. She's the agent of these pieces. And what the scriptures are saying is that Christ is the agent of creation. He's the one. Through him, God created the world. Existence comes into being through Christ and his creative force, his creative ability. It's interesting that the first thing we know about God is that he is creator. That's the first thing we know. Before we know that he's loving, before we know that he's kind, before we know that he's merciful, saving, we know that he is the God who creates the universe. Genesis 1. And so when we are creative, we are imitating who God is. And Jesus creates, if you like. His hand is there in all of that. So when we are creative in our worship, we are following the modeling of God and his Son. That's the reality. So the Word is the agent of creation. Number two, Note in Colossians, "For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him." Everything has been created by him. The whole universe exists through Christ. So sometimes we wonder, you know, are there other species in the world, in the universe? Are there? We've heard stories recently of UFOs. Have you been? The Americans, CIA, have released a whole, you know, manuals on this that they've gathered over the years, finally released. There's evidence that suggests that, wow, there certainly are UFOs, whatever they mean. They're there. Pictures are taken. We've seen them. But whatever exists all comes through God's hand. Christ is Lord of all worlds. See what I mean? So we don't know. One day we'll find out. When we're in heaven, we'll find out if we are alone or if there are millions and millions of other species where Jesus is still Lord over all of them. We'll find out. But he is the creator. And not only is he the creator, but he's the sustainer. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Life in the Greek is zoe. That's the word for life. And zoe is animation. What makes a person animated? What changes a body into something that is alive? Where the eyes just quicken. That's life. That's zoe. That's animation. That's what you and I experience. And when we die, and if we see a person who is no longer living, they don't experience that zoe in front of us the same way. At least we don't see it in the body. But if they're believers, they are already with the Lord. They experience it another way. But looking at the body, we don't see it. We recognize the difference, right? Where is the zoe? Where's the animation in the person? That zoe is what God gives us in Christ. So Jesus says, note, John 11, all these verses show it, "I am the resurrection and the life," zoe. "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live," zoe. Christ is the one who gives us his life. Even though we die, we move on. We are with God. This is the incredible power of the divine dimension of Jesus. And so you see, John is building a very different story than what we see in Matthew and Luke. And then finally, we see that the Word is equal with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so in the Christian faith, it's an expression of the Trinity: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons who are equal, sharing one nature. That's the theological statement of the Trinity. Three persons sharing one nature: Father, Son, Spirit. That's the reality. So the Word, Logos, is with God. And Jesus refers to it in John 18 again. In John 17, verse 18, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." I'm sorry, that's from John 1, but that's the text. The Father's heart, Jesus speaking, that reality. So there's the unity and diversity within the community of God. So we have those four big characteristics. So what does that mean to us as we think of Jesus' divinity? John building this different story. One, we are to be nurtured in our faith through this expression of the Godhead. So Jesus is the divine one who is with us. And so he is able to meet our needs. He is able to guide us because he is this one who is powerful. He is the one who is with God, who comes and takes on flesh, we'll see in a moment, to guide us and direct us and to enable us. So Jesus walks with us. He is the one who we can rely on and trust on. Why? Because he is powerful. At the end of Ephesians chapter 1, there's a prayer, a long prayer by Paul. And he goes on, and the key word in that prayer is Christ is powerful. Christ is power. And there's a variety of words that just repeat the idea. He's almighty. He's strong. He's powerful. There's a variety of power words Paul uses in that prayer. God is powerful for us in Jesus Christ. And so he nurtures us as we move into this new year. So maybe you've got some fears. Maybe you have some concerns for the new year. Anybody got fears or concerns? We don't know how it's all going to go, right? But we trust and we lean. Why? Because Jesus is the one who is powerful and he walks beside us. So Karl Rahner says that the banner of Christ's love and person hangs over this new year. The name of Jesus Christ hangs over this new year as we move into it. This is the year of the Lord. We'll hear that language, right? This is the year of the Lord. 2018 is the year of the Lord. We're finishing one year and we're moving on to another, and Christ's name is over all. He is powerful and he walks with us. Now, it's our choice, and we'll see that later, whether we draw on that strength or not. That's up to you and me. But Christ is presented as the powerful Son of God who gives Zoe life if we choose to believe. We'll see that. And secondly, he comes, I would say, as our hero and guide. I'm fascinated in the movie world. It's very difficult to come up with scripts. Rebecca is in this world. I'm trying to come up with scripts. Interesting stories. And I'm interested in the action movies. They keep going back to superheroes. They'll choose a new superhero and make a movie out of whoever. Wonder Woman. What's a recent one? Who else is there? Thor? Who's the big green guy? Hulk. Yes. I love Hulk. When I was a kid, I loved Hulk. This big green guy. So we make a whole movie about these superheroes. In the reality, what Scripture is saying is that Jesus is our hero. Jesus is the one who guides us. He directs us. He leads us. We are to look to him. So we don't need a whole bunch of other superheroes that can be fun to look at, enjoy. But Christ is that reality because he is divine. God breaks into our world in Jesus. So we see the divinity and then we see the humanity. And both are brought together as in John 1. So here we go, the Christmas story. This is what we've been doing for the whole last month. In the Kairos moment, the Logos came to earth. Here's verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That talks about the Advent moment. Jesus was born. God was born in humanity in this little baby. This is the Kairos moment, the special moment. God does a new thing in our world when Jesus is born. Hadn't happened before. 2,000 years ago, God breaks into our world in Christ, and he takes on flesh. He takes on bones and sinew and a heart pumping blood, just like us. Identifying completely with our fragility and our weakness, our full identity, in solidarity with us, absolutely, completely. So when we say, where is God? Where is God in the midst of all these bad things that are happening? Why doesn't he do something? He has done something. He has broken into our world and become human in Jesus. What else could he do? He identifies with us completely. He's in complete solidarity. Hebrews says that Jesus has been tempted like us in absolutely every way. Nothing that you've been tempted with, Jesus wasn't tempted with. Everything without sin. But he knew the temptation to the fullest degree because he never gives in. You see what I mean? We are tempted and finally we give in. Jesus felt it, never gives in. He is in full solidarity with us. That is very important for us to recognize. Because if we don't see that, then we keep wondering, well, why doesn't God do something for humanity? Why doesn't he fix this whole thing? He is fixing the whole thing. He's already fixed it, really, through the cross and the resurrection. The big battle has already been won. And now we're playing out the rest of the story. That is the reality. And we are invited to keep that in our hearts and minds. That's why we need to keep reading the Scriptures so that our minds are shaped by the Scriptures and not by the mores of the world. Not by what's going on every night on your news channel. There's always stories, right? Always disappointments, always confusion. But there's a deeper story. Jesus takes on flesh. Thirdly, Jesus dwells with us. The word that he chooses, John, for that is skenao, which is tabernacled. That's important because in the Old Testament, God tabernacled with the children of Israel in the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle. It's the same. They built a tabernacle, and God came and met with Moses, tabernacled with them. How? We don't know. Was that in a light? What, did God appear in human form? What we know is that Moses met with God. He tabernacled with him and gave Moses direction. John uses the same word. And says that in Christ, Christ tabernacles with us. He tents with us. This is the power. So I use the language that this is God's body language. God's body language. Earlier in the service, I said, thanks. When we see someone do that, when we see a little child, we had a little child earlier in the service who was doing some dancing up here. Beautiful to see. When you see a child dancing and dancing and dancing, what does that say? Come on, tell me, what does that say? What do you think of when you see a little child dancing, lifting up hands, happy, joyful? The body language shows all that, right? When we lift our hands like this to God, that says something. That says something. You are good. If I do this, you are good. What is my body language saying? I'm not quite as convinced, right? I mean, you see what I mean. This is God's body language. It's interesting in Luke 2:12, the shepherds say, the angel says to the shepherds, there will be a sign. And what is the sign? The sign is a baby born in Bethlehem. That's your sign. That's God's body language. A child is born. And so God's body language, this child now grows into a man. And he has this wonderful ministry that John is going to spend his whole gospel talking about. But it happens in the sign, in the birth. That's the incarnation story. This is God's body language for us. So what does all that mean? So we have these three pieces. God dwells with us. He meets with us. Jesus dwells. He takes on flesh. He came. That's the incarnation story. Today we finished the incarnation series. So what's the application in a few minutes? Incarnation is part of God's story. We have a story, and God has a story. God has a story with the whole experience of humanity. This little window, we know that the universe has existed for billions and billions of years. Humanity on earth has only existed for a short time. You know, whatever that exactly is. A few million years. That's the story of humanity. And God has been building this story, and now he breaks into our world. That is the God story for us. This is his desire to have a people of God who will praise and worship him. He has that desire, and you and I can be part of that. It's a wonderful opportunity. So the question you see is, do we accept it? Because in John 1, Jesus comes into our world, and note, he was in the world, verse 10, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own people, his own ethnic grouping, and his own people did not accept him. So we are offered this choice. Do we want to know this Christ, this Jesus, or not? Do we want to move into a relationship with him or not? We are called to be choosers, not non-choosers. We got to choose. We have an invitation. And so that's presented to us, and it's so beautiful here in verse 12, because look at verse 12. But to all who received him, who say yes, who believed in his name, open up in faith. Note, he gave power to become children of God. That is an incredible verse. We should all memorize that. That he gives us the power to become his children. His children. How much do you love your children? You do anything for your children, right? God loves us as his children. He gave his son to die, to experience a painful death for you and for me. He could not do any more than that. We are offered the privilege of becoming his children. Wow, 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 wow. We should think about that. We should think about the afterlife. We should think about your future a million years from now and what that will be as a son or daughter of God. Not just anybody, not just by nobody. You are a daughter or a son of the King of Kings. That's what the scripture is saying. That should get us excited. We're going to go into 2018. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be good things, and there are going to be bad things. Some things will work out beautifully. Other things are going to turn out badly. They will be a complete mess. But the reality is that we are children of God. So we keep going forward in faith. Keep trusting. Keep having confidence in God. As Julian said years ago, all shall be well. If you know that you will have eternal life, billions of years of life where we are living out our passion and our true vocation, it probably means we can get through a few bumps on the road. But if we dismiss all of that, then these bumps on the road are overwhelming. They just blow us apart. We have to have a wider, bigger picture. And if we do that, then we are tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. He is good. He is good. I just finished a class up at Tyndale, and I had a very fine student who was an older student for as it goes in Tyndale. So she was early 30s, mid-30s. Came to faith later in her life, as it was. And what is really spoken to her is worship. And so she goes to a church where there is just crazy worship. You can just go, man, you can go off into the corner and just do your complete thing. Everybody's just completely happy with that. And for her, it works beautifully. She just recognizes that God is good. God is good. And so if I want to dance before the Lord and say you are good, she just goes ahead and does it, man. You are good. You are good. And it empowers her to live a life that is challenging. She has her challenges. She's only Christian in her entire family. She feels alone many times. But she's empowered. She tastes and sees that the Lord is good. She hangs on to that. And that's what we need to hang on to. We're crossing into a new year. Tomorrow is a new year, right? New Year's Day. What does this new year unfold for you and for me? What's ahead? What's ahead for us as a church? We've got some exciting days coming up. We started this way back in 2005. Now it's 2017. We've been plugging on this for at least 12 years. God is good. And he's not just good to a few. He's good to us all. He's good to you. You are important to him. You got to hang on to that, hang on to that, hang on to that. Make that choice. Hang on. Because there's going to be another voice in your head saying, he's not so good to me. He's good to that person. He's good to that person, but he's not good to me. That's the deceiver. That's who Jesus calls that voice, the deceiver, a liar. So it's a choice. May we choose. May we say yes to God. May we go in confident in God's goodness to us, because Christ is divine, Christ is human, he is this amazing combination. And because of that, we have the hope and reality of eternal life. My uncle was a preacher in Ireland at the same church for 35 years, in Coleraine. And I remember him coming up over to Canada to visit, and when I was at Royal York Baptist Church, and I preached something on eternal life. And he said to me, my Uncle Bill said later, talking to me about the sermon, he says, Alan, eternal life is not just ahead. you believe, you already have eternal life. You're already in that place. When you die, you just move on, man. Wow, I said, wow, that's a good point, Uncle Bill. Thanks. Eternal life, that's our reality. Let's praise him as we carry on. In Jesus' name.